As Barney said, we're going to look at the greatest event that ever happened to the benefit of mankind. We're going to look at one of the most important, crucial things that God did to benefit you and I. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you and I would still be living in sin. We would have no hope and most miserable men and women too. So let's go to 1 Peter, if you would. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Jesus Christ told his disciples that God was going to raise him from the dead. But when you read the accounts, it seemed like they really didn't listen. Because after his death, it wasn't like they were going around Jerusalem saying, hey, yeah, he's dead, but 3 days and three nights, he's going to be raised from the dead, just like he told us. Is that what they were doing? What were his disciples doing those 3 days and three nights that he was buried in the earth? They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They forgot God's word. Jesus Christ told them, hey, I'm getting up 3 days, three nights. It's been prophesied. Jonah, you know, as Jonah was in the whale, in the belly of that great fish, 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man. But they forgot God's word. They forgot God's word. They thought everything was all lost until Jesus Christ in his resurrected body showed up. Doors were all locked. Somehow he got in. And lo and behold, they see this person, and they thought it was a ghost at first, but he told them, hey, be at peace, it's me. And he showed them in his resurrected body that he was that same very Christ. So they got pretty excited after they knew it was Jesus Christ. And so they thought, man, oh man, here he is in his resurrected body. This is exciting. We're really going to have a great time now. And then he says, well, guys, I'm going to have to leave in a few more days. And of course, we know in 40 days, he ascended on up. But he told them that something was going to be happening a few days after that. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, the new birth realities, whereby somebody or anybody could be born again of God's Spirit and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit within. So, the resurrection was a big deal. It is very important that we understand that of all the great people that have died for wonderful causes, only one got up from the dead and remains alive and is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and that is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at God's Word here in light of the greatness and the importance of the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What was it that gave them a lively hope? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And not only that, to an inheritance. This is what they receive as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had a lively hope. They had an inheritance. Verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Great deal, huh? Tremendous. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the crucial point for the Christian believer. It is so, so important. Nothing greater can a man or a woman do than to believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. By doing that, they get born again of God's Spirit. You know, we're looking at God's Word, and we're going to look at some more of God's Word in light of the resurrection. God in His Word has so written it so that we can see the doctrine to right believing. He said that He would give His Word for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So God's Word is organized with this doctrine for right believing, reproof, and correction. And we see this in the seven church epistles wonderfully presented. In Romans, in the book of Romans, we see that it is a doctrinal epistle on right believing. You know, what is the right way to believe? So we're going to take a look at Romans and see the importance of the resurrection. So let's go to Romans in your Bibles. And we don't have to go far, chapter 1, before we see the subject of the resurrection. And let's start in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made to the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by what? The resurrection from the dead. There it is, right there, right in the beginning of this wonderful doctrinal epistle on right believing. By the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith, to the right believing among all nations for His name. Now let's take a look at chapter 6. We're looking at God's Word in light of the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we look at these things and understand that this is the Word of truth, then we can incorporate this in our life. We can see how important the resurrection is in our life, and then we can walk in the great power that God has intended us to walk because He did raise Jesus Christ from the dead. So chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him. The text read, therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What we're seeing here in a wonderful figure of speech is that we identify with Jesus Christ. We identify as God looks at you and I as born-again believers, sons of God. He sees us as baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him. He sees, you know, Jesus Christ had to die. He died. He was buried. We identify with that. We were buried with Him, right? Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Did Jesus Christ walk in newness of life when He was raised from the dead? Sure did. He had this new, wonderful body. He did all kinds of neat things in that new body. It was a new life for Him. He didn't have that old flesh body. He had some new spiritual body. And He walked in great newness of life. You and I, as a result of the new birth realities, born again of God's Spirit, we too can walk in newness of life. Why? Because we associate by what He did. We identify with Him. It goes on here, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Again, we are associated fully and completely with Jesus Christ, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Isn't it wonderful to see how we associate with Jesus Christ? This is how God looks at us. You know, he does not look at us as some, you know, Joe believer that just happens to believe the word and gets born again. You know, he sees us associated with Jesus Christ, identifies with him. Do you see that? That's really a great reality, a great truth there. Well, let's go to chapter 7. You know, I don't want to get off on that. We were looking at the resurrection, okay? So chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Again, there's that association again. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The resurrection is so key, so vital. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, starting verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We know that it is Christ in us. Romans or Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we've got Christ in us, and this is what it's saying here in Romans. But if the Spirit, look at this, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, just think of the possibilities here. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him a whole new body, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? And what it's saying here, if that Spirit, and really in the Greek, it's since the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells where? In you, when you're born again of God's Spirit. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, that's pretty exciting to have the Spirit of God in you. It's that Spirit with the possibilities, but with the power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, you know, some of this stuff's hard to believe. It's just like, and we kind of maybe can associate ourselves with the disciples, with Jesus Christ. He taught them, he told them, he said, hey, you know, I've got to die. It says so in the scriptures. I am going to get up in 3 days and three nights. Do you understand that? And they said, yeah, yeah, Jesus, uh-huh. I know, right, right on, you're going to raise up. But what happened to him? Boy, he died and they saw the gruesomeness of that horrible death and he was buried and then he just got fearful and got locked into closed doors for fear of the Jews. They forgot the truth of God's word. You know, that's why I love hearing the truth of God's word over and over, because I forget too. I get wrapped up into the things of this world, but yet to have the time to look at the truth of who we are in Christ and how we associate, that I feel pretty good about that. And we should, right? This is more true than your physical body, because this is an eternal spirit. All right. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. There's a verse in here that we use to help people get born again. In fact, it tells you how to get saved in this verse. It's verse 9. But let's read the context here. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God's word teaches us there's basically three classifications of people. Judeans, Jew, children of Israel, Christian, born-again ones, and Gentiles. Gentiles are ones that are not Jew or born-again of God's Spirit. Well, he's talking here, his desire and his heart desire and prayer is for who to get saved? Israel, okay? For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They get excited about God. They're talking about him all the time, but not according to knowledge. Not very good knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't know God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not known that Jesus Christ died, that God raised him from the dead, and that it's not by works anymore. You're saved by grace, not by works, right? Okay, righteousness of God comes by confessing in your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart God raised him from the dead. You get born again. So you can't work for your righteousness. So this was his prayer. Hey, guys, no more. Not under the law. So this is what's going on here. Where are we at? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. Now, he talks about Moses. Now, you think the Israelites can associate with Moses? Right, okay. So he's going to use some things that were written and that Moses said. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith or believing speaketh on this wise. Okay, we're going to talk about righteousness through believing. Okay? And he's going to give them a little reasoning here. And the reasoning is this. On this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith or the right way of believing which we preach. That's what we're preaching. And what was it they preached? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the crucial point for a person to get born again, is that they believe that God raised him from the dead, right? Now these verses here, 5, or especially 6, 7, and 8, have always been a little confusing to me. What's he talking about here? Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? You know, who shall ascend in the deep? And so I've been working this section a little bit, and I want to share with you the best I understand what this is saying. I don't know if you've had a problem with this, these few verses, in light of it introduces verse 9, and how to get saved. But what this is, and Paul's doing here, it's a method of reasoning that the Judeans would use, and he quotes from Deuteronomy. If don't turn there, but if you want to check it later, these are quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12 through 14. Okay? And what he's doing, in light of these verses where he's working with the Judeans so that they get saved, he's going to use a method of reasoning that is common to the Judeans. So, and he says, for example, he says Deuteronomy 30, of course they didn't have a Bible then, but that section in Deuteronomy, he explains that that's the way to God's righteousness, that it is not hidden. It is no big secret. The truth that it's by faith rather than by the law, it's not a secret anymore. It's not some big hidden thing. This method of reasoning is used to explain something that is too good to be true. See, that's the problem. The Judeans say, it can't be that easy to believe to get born again. I've got to do some work. Give me some law so that I can do my own righteousness. No, the greatness of this new birth is simply by believing. It's a gift. So this reasoning is that God's will is not hidden from them. Okay? It's not remote. Is it not higher than the heavens whereby we need to bring Christ down? You know, this thing is not like, okay, it's not like we have to reach up in the heaven and bring Christ down. It's not like Christ is dead in the deep and we bring him up to explain it. It's very evident. Christ is raised from the dead. The Word is right here. Hello, you know, this is the Word is nigh. God's Word is true. We don't have to reach up high and have Christ come down low, bring the... No, it's right here. It's in thy mouth. All you need to do, it's in your heart, is to say with your mouth or confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Now, I don't know if you see that or not, but that's what I learned about that section. And it really leads into the simplicity of the new birth for the Judeans especially, because they thought it was some hidden secret or whatever. But it's right there. It's so evident. How do you get born again? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's why the resurrection is so important for people to know and to understand. That's why it's written so much in the book of Romans here. But you know what? This subject of the resurrection is very clear in Romans. But knowing the fallibility of human beings, that we forget, don't we? We just forget sometimes the great truths, just like the disciples forgot that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead, right? And we forget these great truths. But that's why God's Word has reproof and correction. Because when we get off the ball, we need reproof and correction. And that's why the book of Corinthians was written. So let's go to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, all right? And when you work these church epistles, you see that 1 Corinthians corrects the practical error that crept into the church as a result of not adhering to the doctrine that was taught in Romans. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This chapter is in most part dedicated to explaining the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its importance. Now, you know, most of us are familiar with chapter 12, aren't we? Chapter 12, 13, and 14, spiritual matters, gets into the nine manifestations, the functioning of those manifestations, especially speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, how they work in the church. And then, of course, chapter 13 makes sure that, how do we do that? With the love of God and the renewed mind manifestation, right? And then chapter 14 goes on in that same, with the same idea of teaching these manifestations. But then we get to chapter 15. And let's take a look at chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. The gospel is the good news. Hey, when you hear the good news, the right word, you're going to be saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You haven't believed the right stuff. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Okay, he's reproving them. He's saying, okay, now I taught this. And remember, Jesus Christ, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, got it? And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It always gets back, going back to the Word, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas. Who was Cephas? Peter was. That's another name for Peter. Then the 12. What we're seeing here, he's saying, Paul's saying, hey, these are all these folks that saw him in his resurrected form. The Peter saw him, the 12, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. You know, some have died, but some 500 people saw him in his resurrected body. as well as Peter and the 12. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. When did he see him? Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or adequate to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You know the profile, Paul's resume? His resume is he was one of the top guys persecuting this new church, this new believing, these Christians. He was out there cutting their, you know, getting rid of them, throwing them in jail, having them killed. And then he had a change in his life, didn't he, on the road to Damascus. And that, you know, look at this. Can you imagine a guy like that who was so dedicated to hurting people for their beliefs, and then all of a sudden he believes that belief also? I bet he felt bad. I mean, he could have great condemnation because he hurt a lot of people. But look how he handles this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's not by his abilities, his skill. It's not because of his background either. It's all by the grace of God, God's grace. You know, we are because of God's grace too. Sometimes we think little of ourselves, and we need to think, well, it's by God's grace that we have the new birth realities. So he goes on, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You know what? He said, hey, it's by grace. I'm not going to walk in condemnation by the past. I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to move God's word. And that's what he did, because he said it wasn't in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Boy, he, you know, see how he puts the benefit, or he identifies where it was really from, the grace of God. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, and that was the truth, right? How say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? How can you say that? Hey, if there be no resurrection of the dead, if that's not available, then Christ is not risen. Hey, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And you know what? Your believing is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Boy, look at the contrast here, this resurrection. If there is no resurrection and Jesus Christ was not raised, I'm still dead in my sins. What, my goodness. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is vain. Wow. You are yet in your sins. Look at the contrast there. If there is no resurrection, you and I are still in our sins. That's no good. Not at all. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those who are born again of God's Spirit, they believed in the resurrection, were saved. But if there is no resurrection and they fall asleep and they're dead, they're dead. They're perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, and the resurrection's not true, we are all men most miserable. Wow, yes, sir. If that's not true, the resurrection, we are men most miserable. But now, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Okay, Adam brought sin. That one man did that, right? Jesus Christ was the man, the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, here it is. I shouldn't explain it, I should just read the next verse. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Man, what a great sequence of events. Lots going to happen during that period. But man, here it is. The resurrection and how important it is. I'm not going to read the rest of this section, but I want to point out a few verses here. So go to verse 35. I'll give you an opportunity to read this rest of this section tonight, okay? Verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, that's a pretty good question. If people are raised up from the dead, what kind of body do they have? So he gets into that. He shares with them about that, what that body is. But we're not going to read it. You can read that tonight, okay? Got to have something to do tonight, right? Let's go to verse 50. Because verse 50 talks about the great gathering together. And we're going to close here. I just want to close and let the word speak here from verse 50 on through the rest of this chapter. But before we read it, I want to summarize a little bit what we have looked at. We have seen that in Peter, 1 Peter, that God happily made available the new birth unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God clearly has taught the truth that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead in many places in Romans. We read that, remember? And when people missed it, where was the reproof and correction? Corinthians, all right? Corinthians was reproof and correction to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our believing would be in vain if he was not raised. We would still be in our sins and be men most miserable, right? Having no hope if he was not raised from the dead. But he was raised from the dead, wasn't he? And now we're going to close in this last section here of this wonderful chapter dealing with you and I being raised from the dead. Okay? So let's read this, and I want to just close out by reading this wonderful section. Now this I say, verse 50, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, just thankful for the privilege we have to have access to your wonderful word that teaches these great truths, Father, that we can realize the value of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what it made available for us in light of the new birth realities, that we can have fellowship with you for eternity, that we have the hope of Christ's return, as we just read here, Father, that in a moment, at any time, he could come back. So, Father, these are the great realities that we believe. And we're thankful that you were so loving to give your Son and to make this available to us, that we can have the power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead within us, because it's Christ in us. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here, for their hearts to walk out on your word, to realize who they are in Christ and who they are in the body of Christ, so that each and every one of us can function to the fullest capacity, and that we can move your word around the world, that we can satisfy your desire that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So I pray for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. God bless you.